Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Open Mic with 2018 Senate District 19 candidate Ruben Godfrey. Grateful that you can join us again tonight. And guess what, friends? We have a very interesting and informative topic for you tonight. And we hope that you give us a call in right here at in the studio, Open Mic with 2018 Senate candidate Ruben Godfrey. We're grateful that we are in a position to offer our service to the public as a public servant. And your input helps us to help all of our constituents understand what it is that we're facing. And more importantly, to have your voice heard in this election process that is coming up. You know, there are a lot of people, as we're going to talk about it, who feel as though, hey, it really is nothing that I can do, so I just quit and I give up. But the last thing anybody ought to do is to give up, because it's too much at stake. What Socrates says is that when you fail to participate in public affairs, make it easy for evil individuals to rule over you. That we don't need, nor do we want. September 14, 2018, again, you're on with Open Mic with 2018 Senate candidate Ruben Godfrey. What we're going to talk about tonight is voter apathy. Now, over the last 20-plus years, there's been a fairly low voter turnout in Tennessee Senate District 19. This trend was reflected in the results of the recent 2018 primary election. The majority, some 70,000 plus constituents of Senate District, voters either were disinterested or simply want something different. The recent action of voters overall showed what is called voter apathy for one reason or another. Let's try to understand it just for a second. I see we got a call in queue. We'll be right with you. Voter apathy or lack of interest, often cited as the cause of low turnout among voters who are eligible to participate in the electoral process in a particular district. And what we see is that most often stems from the failure of either current or previous elected officials' inability to adequately represent the needs of their constituents. Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight, and I want you to know that you're welcome to, I met a few people. I was out in Antioch at Sunrise Apartments. We met some great people there, and we invited them to call us tonight, and hopefully some others give us a call. Again, number 657-383-0944. We got about another 45 minutes here to go. And this is your time. I'm here to answer your questions, okay? If you follow us on Facebook via live stream, you can shoot your question or comment via Facebook. We'll be happy to share that with everyone. Don't necessarily have to give your name. If you call in, we'll identify you by your last four digits of your phone number, all right? So, or your name if you'd like to give it, no, however you want to do it. But let me just make this announcement right quickly, because we are in need of your help. When I say we, the Doctor for Tennessee Senate campaign, the change that you need that you've been looking for is here, because that change is in Reuben Dockery as your candidate. Please help campaign by being a precinct surrogate. Now, campaign precinct surrogate. As such, you'll get one of these beautiful T-shirts that we have here that says, Vote Reuben Dockery, Tennessee Senate District 19 Change, 2018. And as well as on the back, it's very clear, November 6, 2018, Tennessee Senate District 19, the change that you've been looking for. You won't find Hickory. On there you won't find Hickory, but you will find Dockery. That's Reuben Dockery. When you give your contribution, and you can do so online, if you're looking at Facebook, you can do that. But go to our website, constituentadvocacy.com. All right? And when you go there, you'll be able to make your contribution. We're asking you $25, $50. If you can only give us $10, that would be fine as well. We're grateful for it. That helps us get the message out to over 192,000-plus people, and 98,000 of them eligible voters. Clearly, there is a lack of interest or some apathy that's evident, and we spoke of this before. All right. Now, so I think that we've made that point clear. We're going to go to our phone lines right quickly. We've got a caller here from 615-4379. Welcome to Open Mic. Caller, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Great, great, great. Appreciate you calling in. This is your time. Any questions that you'd like to ask me as a candidate for Senate District 19?
Yeah, so, I mean, a question that I have is, you know, there's a lot of growth in the Nashville area, and a lot of people moving in from the outside benefiting off that growth. So the question I have is, what can you do for our area in particular to make sure that we can participate in some of that upside?
So that's a great question. The truth of the matter is, as a senator, the growth that you're seeing is local-based to Davidson County. And there is a deliberative body in Davidson County that's responsible for the policies that are affecting that growth that you're talking about, okay? The senator don't directly control that. But something I've been saying for the longest, and that is this. What the senator does have control over is the funding resources that come from the federal government that are used in part for the growth. In this case, through a lot of times, I know for sure Davidson County is using some of the federal dollars to help supplement their bonds for developers to come here, right? So that's affecting the growth. Well, your senator should have been at the beginning of the legislative process speaking on your behalf and ensuring that your voice was heard, that the resources allocated for your specific districts were properly assigned to them, and that you got them. Okay? So that's one of the things that I would do as your senator, is I would serve as a go-between between federal dollars, state dollars that come to your local area, and encourage your mayor and your council to use those in a way. Now, what we've been talking about for a little while is how in certain voting precincts, there's a higher unemployment and poverty rate than there are in others. There's some inequity there, right? And one of the things that I'm looking to do is to bring 250 new business startups over the next 4 years. That's about 60 to 62 every year. And the idea is to provide incentives with federal dollars, state dollars, as well as local private businesses. And we'll placate largely off of the tax plan, the tax cut plan and what have you, that incentivize businesses to invest in entrepreneurs. And we can help some of our young guys that are on the street who are looking for opportunities to become legal and to do productive things. I hope I didn't ramble too much there for you.
No, I'm following it 100%. I appreciate it.
Okay. So, yeah, that's how, you know, one of the things that the city has to do is to be honest about the fact that as the growth came, some people got moved out. What part of the city do you live in, or did you move from one area to another?
The Antioch location. Antioch is really where I was at.
Oh, wow. So you know it's a lot going on in Antioch, right?
Lots of changes.
And a lot of changes. In fact, Antioch went through an interesting change. For a long time, there were malls, and it was a growing area, a booming area. And within the last 10 or 15 years, that flipped. A lot of businesses left, and they tried to rebuild it up. And I think their efforts were genuine. But people knew that more people were moving out there. Part of this is because of the gentrification going on in the inner city or the inner core of Nashville, Davidson County. As properties, values rose, and people were moved out, many of them were forced out to Antioch and other areas. Just talking about Antioch now. And the population grew, the density grew, right? But the opportunities were fewer. And that's part of what we're seeing now. You're probably aware of a lot of the crimes. I was just looking at the news today. A lot of teenagers, a lot of young people that are just having AIDS, that are just out there and having a hard time. What is it that your elected leadership is prepared to do? That becomes a question quite often. So your question is well-founded there. In terms of voter apathy, where do you see some of the you heard my statement. What do you see some of the causes and key issues is being there, I'll call them?
Well, I mean, I definitely think that it is I think that the core of it all is really not really feeling like you have any say or any control in the changes that are going on all the way from local, you know, all the way on up. And I think that a big part of it is just a lack of education of knowing what you can do, because we know what you can't do. You feel like you can't do anything. So I think that it's a really big help whenever there can be more education on the process in general and what part each individual can play in the process to get certain changes made.
I appreciate that. When I started my research to run for office, one of the things I did was to look at that, and I asked myself what's been missing as a voter myself for the last 31 years. And I've noticed that every election cycle, and that explains why it's such a low turnout, few people really understand the issues. Few of them understand the impact of people who have either been in office or wanting to be in office, that they can have on it. So we come up with three prongs to our campaign. That's voter education, voter organization, and then encouraging voter participation. On my website, constituentadvocacy.com, as I've been saying, we've been holding these open mic sessions for the last few couple of months or so, and we'll do so throughout the election cycle every Friday night, 7 o'clock p.m. On that website, we took the time to put together 4 educational videos. Now, I know sometimes that can get boring. People don't want to go to school. But the more informed you are, the easier it is for you to make a vote that is in your interest. And I think it's worth taking the time between now and November 6th, okay, to take the time. I want to encourage all of you to go to the website, send this out to your friends and your families and your neighbors, and tell them, listen, if you really want to understand the real issues, I've taken the time to explain things like where is your Senate district, right? A lot of people don't even know where their voting precinct is. So how do you know where to go to vote if you wanted to, right? You understand what I'm saying, Carla?
Yeah.
And this is the sort of disconnection and lack of power people feel. But the more you know, the better you can do. So I appreciate what you're saying there. Anything else?
I'm just listening for the moment. What would you say their website was again?
ConstituentAdvocacy.com. Not to insult anyone's intelligence, but C-O-N-S-T-I-T-U-E-N-T. Advocacy, ADVOCACY.com. That's the website that you can get that information. And if you're, I want to thank those that are, excuse me one second, I want to thank those that are following us on live streaming on Facebook. Feel free to give us a call here. No question is all out of bounds. This is your time. We put this together for the voters and for you, our constituents. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call me directly in the studio tonight. Of course, you know we have a different campaign number, local campaign number, and I'll give that out again before we get off the air. And I want to encourage you again to make your contribution, and when you do so, we're going to get you one of these beautiful shirts here. I want you to wear it and let everybody know that the best choice to change and representation in the Tennessee Senate for the next 4 years is Reuben Dockery. All right. I'm sorry, you were going to say something, Carl. I cut you off.
No. I'm just here. I'm just listening.
All right. And since you're doing that, since we're talking about the website, let me just go there for a second. And I'm going to give you a little, I'm going to recap again some of the issues that are facing us. Okay? Now, when you get to the website, on the homepage, you'll see the various links there. And I'm going to now cover over the link that says candidate platform. Well, we won't stay there right now, but I want you to follow me to podcast presentation. And that's where you'll find those four videos. And accompanying those four videos are PDF files that you can open and read at your leisure. If you want to go back a million times, you can do so. And I just want to go for a second to the one that is dealing with issues. So we kind of talked about this last Friday a little bit, but I just want to reiterate this one point about our current status. That's Voter Education Series Part 3, Current Status of Tennessee Senate District 19. Now, I promise that, incidentally, I have 25 new businesses that I believe can be started, a business type. I mentioned to you want to bring 250 to the Senate District, right? And there's 25 areas that I believe you can start a business with between $7,000 and $10,000. And I'm going to lay out that whole plan very clearly for you to see it. It's interesting, I'm hearing one of the candidates that's running for governor, emphasize the fact that for those who are not likely to go through the traditional track of education, there's an option for them to go through vocational type training that falls right within the purview of what we're talking about. And next week, we're going to actually lay that out for you, all 25 of those, be you male or female, things that you can do, even if you don't have a high school diploma. Perhaps if you are a felon, there may be some opportunities here. These are the type of things I want you to know. People need to understand that. But lest I digress too far, we go back to Voter Education Series Part 3. And I just want to open up that PDF file and go down to the issue of the voter apathy as we've laid out. And just for a second, caller, if you'll consider these, and then I want to get your feedback on it. Now, in Tennessee Senate District 19, here's what the voter turnout was since 2006. Now, when a senator is elected, they have 4 years, okay? And after that 4 years, they have to run again. Seat become vacant. We've had the same senator, Senator Hoffer, since 1992, about 27 years or so, 27 to 30 years. Okay? Well, we're just looking at the last three cycles for election. Okay? And I want you to see how apathy has set in. In 2006, out of around 109,000 voters, only 31,000 207 of them voted. roughly 29%. Senator Harper was unchallenged at that point. There was nobody challenging her. Okay? In 2010, around that same number of total eligible voters, only 24,575, 23%, came out to vote. There was one challenger to Senator Harper at that time. Can you see the progression, caller?
Absolutely. I'm just amazed. I didn't think that any political office was held, somebody could hold a seat for that.
Well, I mean, now, well, this may get you even more. In 2014, that was the very last election for this seat that we're talking about, Senate District 19. Out of approximately 109-some thousand voters, the voting rolls are purged every so often, but the number fluctuates, so roughly within that number. Currently, it's 98,000, okay? But in 2014, there were 109,000 eligible voters, 30,873 voted, 28% of the district. Thelma Harper had three challengers. Now, can you see how over time there was a different interest and more people stepped up to the plate to want to serve? So the question is, what is it that calls people to be apathetic? What do you take on that? What's your take on this, Carl? I'm just curious to know what do you see as a trend there?
Well, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, first of all, the longer, I mean, it's kind of like the opposite reverse. It's kind of like digging yourself more in a hole. But the longer that you have the same people or person in a position, then you feel less and less like there's any power or need to change anything, or, you know, because it's just like, this is how it's been, this is how it's going to keep being. And I mean, surely we all know that the way to change that is to actually be more active in the process, but still you feel the opposite. You feel like this person's been here for a million years, so this is how it's just going to keep going. You know, I think that another big reason for the apathy, especially here, is that sometimes it can seem like no matter who gets in there, the same things that voters might care about doesn't really seem to change that much.
You know what's interesting about that, though, caller? When you look at the voting strength and the number of voters, you have three times as many people who could, that if they're interested in change, that can make the change than those who were complacent. You follow what I'm saying? If, just imagine if those people who were sick and tired and frustrated with the same old 6 and 10 routine actually knew, organized themselves, and came out to vote. What kind of change could they bring? But that means the candidate, and I'm talking about myself now, have to be ready to come with something. You can't just run game on people and assume that they should automatically just vote you in just because. You know what I mean? It would be wonderful, caller, if voters would just vote for me because I'm fathead and good looking. But you know that dog ain't going on, right? That just ain't going to work like that. It just ain't going to work. So I say that to say that there are opportunities for voters to be made aware. And that's, again, I want to reiterate why we've taken the time to place facts on the website for you to digest, okay? Again, many people have moved from one part of the city over the last 4 years and over the last 10 years, 12 years, and now that they're in a different part, they don't realize that they have to go and register again their new address with the election commission. Because if they go to the precinct in the area that they live now, they won't be eligible to vote there unless they go
so
back
how do you
where they came from.
So
that's
how do you do
question.
That? You need to get in contact. How do you do that?
Well, you can go online to the Tennessee Election Commission website on the Secretary of State, and there's an online registration process. Look for I want. They'll ask you, what do you want to do? Type in there, I want to register to vote. You can go to generally your library and pick up a voter registration card. But the Doctor for Tennessee Senate campaign is doing a voter registration drive. And so we were in Antioch last weekend. This weekend we're going to be over in White's Creek area at the Walmart. In fact, tomorrow you can find us there. And we're going to be setting up our tent. We will be right there. If you have you moved or you haven't registered to vote or whatever has happened, you're new to the city, look for that white tent and come under there. We'll register you to vote Jimmy on the spot and make sure we get your registration.
So how do you know if you need to register or not? Like, is there like an expiration? Like, how long, I guess, is your voter registration good for?
Good question. It's good indefinitely as long as you regularly vote. Now, if you don't vote within two major general elections consecutively, so, for instance, you have a general election in 2012, then another general election 2014, and you don't vote, then it's possible that the election commission can purge you from the rolls. Then you have to register over again. But if you just missed one and then you came back and you voted again in another election before that time expired, you're good to go. Or, again, if you move from the address that you were originally registered at, that places you in a new voting precinct, and your voting precinct has to match your address in order for you to vote there. So that means you have to sometimes you can actually take your ID to the new voting precinct on the day of election and tell them that you move, and they'll correct it right there for you. But as long as that you haven't been purged from the rolls, you're safe. Great question.
Okay.
So, but yeah, we got another about 30 minutes here before we wrap up tonight. I wanted to share something else with you, Paula, and get your feedback on it. Now, one of the other things is we were talking about the growth, right? And people want to know where's the money going, right? Why don't we see any money in certain neighborhoods helping build it up? Well, you do see it, but it's only after certain individuals are able to come in there and express their will economically. And I'm specifically talking about developers. I'm not anti-developer, don't get me wrong. But as I've said as a previous candidate before, if you're coming in to develop in an area, you should fairly talk to the people that live there and, look, provide some job opportunities to some of those people that live there to help build the area up. And there's this big question about affordable housing, things of that nature. I got a Facebook question here, or a statement it looks like. Miss Tony, she says, offer the people sustenance where we're hungry. She says we're hungry. That's absolutely, Miss Tony, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, that manifested in young people right here in Nashville, Davidson County. They indicated that there was a rise in teenagers toting guns, robbing people, and carjacking people. And it's amazing because they're hungry. Here's what happened. You got a young person that grew up there, their grandmama, their great-grandmama, their mama grew up in this neighborhood. Unbeknownst to them, somebody forced them, their family, to have to move out because the landlord or the property owner sold to a developer for little or nothing. The developer went down to Metro Housing Development, no doubt, and applied for a renovation grant under HUD. Okay? And when they applied for it, first they went and bought your property from you for little or nothing. You see these signs of we buy houses and we pay cash. Yeah. But when they get it, now they are property, that property is in their name. And they qualify for those development grants that were set aside. Some of the money, again, as I said, was supplemented by federal dollars and state dollars. The bulk of it is your local base. Well, that money was set aside for you 20-some years ago. So they promised that we want to develop this area. But what they didn't do is to make sure we didn't develop you out of it. And that's what happened. Now these young people are coming back to the places they're most familiar with, and really they're not welcome because you have no reason to be over there, right? People want to call the police because you walking up and down the street look suspicious. Uh-oh. Can you see where the problem is, Carlos?
Yeah, I definitely can.
These are some of the economic dynamics that are factoring into Nashville, Davidson County now. And let me just stipulate again, Senate District 19, all of it is within the boundaries of Nashville, Davidson County. It's a pretty large area. The bulk of it is in the inner core of Nashville, where you see the gentrification and the growth and the major trends that are changing there. I'm all for newcomers to Nashville, and I don't think it's their fault that they want to come to Nashville and grow. Again, I ask the question, when these plans were made to attract this new population and to shift and to grow Nashville like that, at what point did the people we voted for, I said we voted for, tell us about that and explain to us the impact, positively and negatively, it was going to have on our quality of life. At what point did we get that? Oh, we got them when it was time for them to get a vote. And some of them call them, play the game. I don't want to tell too many people, wake too many people up, because they may really be aware and vote me out. So they don't really reach out to anybody. And people just apathetically go by, and the election comes and it goes. And those that didn't vote, in a sense, voted for the same people to get in office over and over and over again. And you get what you get. It's a sad thing, but it's real. It's a sad thing. That's why we played the song by Too Short, Blow the Whistle, because you got three people's name on the ballot in November. Three of them. Huh? But only one of them ready. Let me tell you something. Look at that ballot. It should be coming out soon. You won't find Hickory. You won't find Dickory. But you will find Dockery. That's Reuben Dockery on the ballot for Tennessee Senate District 19. What I want to encourage you to do is to go out and vote. Don't just vote for Dockery because he told you to, but check Dockery out, constituentadvocacy.com. Then you have an opportunity to weigh out the real deal and see what's really going on. Hey, that's my good friend, Dr. Pete, Dr. Fields. How you doing, Doc? Give me a call here, Dr. Fields. 657-383-0944. Appreciate you. Mr. Allen, welcome to our discussion. Feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. We still got a few minutes before we get out of here. In fact, we've got about 20 minutes, and I'll be happy to entertain you. Just shoot me a question or comment right there. Ms. Tony, thank you very much. People are hungry, and what happens when you get too hungry and your hunger goes without being satisfied is the natural thing, and that survival kicked in. You don't eat, huh? What I used to tell people when I taught high school is if you don't work, listen, you're going to get hungry. When you get hungry, folks get desperate, do some anything to eat. You know, that's when we got a problem. Because you start climbing off in my window, my doors, and then you understand, well, I love you and everything, but come on now. Yeah, we can't have that. Is that right, Carl? Am I wrong about that, Carl?
No, you got it right.
You don't mind sharing, do you, Carl? You don't mind sharing, do you?
No. No.
But it's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. But tell me, what's your take on the crime issue here? Now, understandably, there are a lot of people who are really asking the police to go easier on particularly African-American males who find themselves engaging law enforcement. But what we're seeing overwhelmingly is that all of these new incidents and these crimes that have been reported, it's African-American males involved. Help me balance that, Carla.
Well, I mean, I think that it's really a combination of factors. I think that on one end, there is a lack of conflict resolution skills just in general for the officers and for a lot of our young men and women that are finding themselves in those situations. You know, aside from, you know, what's actually going on and within the particular arrest situations, you have to understand how to de-escalate situations and stay safe. So I think that that is a big part of it, you know, just in life in general. That's just a skill that I think that a lot of the young people are not having, and that is allowing for other people to put them in bad situations. And then I think that the kind of like going past that, a bigger picture of the crime thing is that when you, like you were just talking about, displace people like that, they don't have anything else to do and they don't have anywhere else to go. So I think that it's really essential that the young people have avenues and things that they can do. So I think that some of those new, I think, you know, community centers and stuff like that is great, but I also believe that I'm really excited to know more about some of those new businesses that you think will be good to be able to start up in the city. Because right. That is what I think will provide an avenue, give something to do. You know what I mean? You gotta start
Absolutely.
Making a way for yourself. You can't just feel like you can just not do anything and still sustain.
Sure. Your point well taken. When people don't have their time managed very well, they have time to get caught up in a whole lot of things and what have you. So I think your point is well taken. And yeah, that's one of the things we're looking at is a certain population that's open to everybody, but certainly we want to help eliminate the barriers. You understand what I'm saying too? And I talk with some bankers and people like that, and I agree, we can't just give money to everybody loosely, but there's a need to provide soft skill training. I think that can be done effectively through some of our mom-and-pop nonprofit organizations to understand how to reach population in general. So we have a Facebook post here. It's from Ms. Tony. I think it's time to stop the insanity of politics, doing the same thing we've been doing and expecting different outcomes, especially when it comes to crime. Now, I did a show, and we explained the criminal justice system. Now, perhaps we'll do another one. The criminal justice system is called criminal because it's designed to provide due process to those who are convicted or charged or claimed to have committed a crime. So the Fourth Amendment and the Sixth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment provide you due process of the law. Okay? Now, when it is determined that you are in fact guilty by a juror of your peers, I know there's question about that. The reality is that you have to pay the piper. Robert Blake played a character called Beretta some years ago, and he had a song that said, "Don't do the crime if you can't do the time," right? And really what a crime is, the crime is defined and determined by your state legislature, which is expressed by the will of the people of your commonwealth or your state, okay? So they're written in your code, annotated. What happens quite often is, Ms. Tony, there are good people who don't know what behaviors lead to, hey, Brother Richardson, what behaviors lead to criminal acts or charges. But just because you don't know don't mean that you won't be held to account. And we have a lot of good young men, caller, who time perhaps is not managed very well. And so they find themselves in public venues too often having negative interactions with law enforcement. Now, what people say is, well, the police should take their time and they should deal with them differently. Well, the truth of the matter is, and you can ask any police officer this, they're not trained to try to negotiate with you. They're trained to enforce the law. And when they have to make an arrest, they believe they have probable cause to do so, they're trained to exact that arrest. If you become a threat to that process of exacting an arrest, not only are they trained, but they're commissioned to eliminate the threat. And the more you elevate that threat, the worse things can get. We got to teach our young people this. We got to teach our young people that you cannot live in a society and do whatever you want to. It just does not work like that, beloved. It doesn't. And I would never lie to you just to get your vote to tell you otherwise. Now, what I'm more important to me is let's talk about how we can help you understand certain things, or we can help you set the course for a better life. I like what this Tony is saying, and that is politics. Politicians, professional politicians, find themselves too often lying to people just to get your vote. That's why I separated myself from the meaning of a politician. I know I'm in a political process. I get that. But I'm an advocate for the people. I'm advocating what is best for you, for your family. There are a lot of mothers who are concerned about their young people. Well, I agree with your concern. But then the best thing I would recommend we can do is to educate. You would say, well, don't they know that already? They're 18 years old. They're 16 years old. Obviously not. Am I wrong about that, caller?
No, I don't think so. So if I'm understanding you correctly, what you're saying is more education in general on what crimes are and maybe even what penalties for some of the crimes are might help improve, might improve the matters of the crime. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, in part. Civic. Understanding civic expectation is something that every citizen should have as an understanding. Now, one of the things I would love to see, and I'm going to push for, and that is for the Department of Education. I know that in most of the southern states they don't have it. About why? But I think it would be very useful. Now, they do teach this as a subset in the state curriculum for high school. But I do believe that in middle school, basic civics need to be a part of the curriculum, such that one of the requirements for graduation or being promoted from the eighth grade to the ninth grade in the secondary schooling is that you demonstrate a proficiency and the knowledge of basic civic expectation, the Constitution. You understand what I'm saying? How government is ran,
yeah.
What's expected of you as a citizen. Do you think that's asking too much, caller or Facebook friend?
No,
no. I mean, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I think I agree with that. You know, and I think I agree with that. If you know what the expectation is and what it's not, then I think you're in a much better position to actually meet that.
Right. And I want to emphasize that we're not talking about bad people, but we're talking about how bad things happen to good people. You understand what I'm saying? And ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law, for me or anyone else. But I was talking to someone, and they said, you know, that could have been your son. I thought about that, caller. My son is 20 now, and he lives in a different state. Okay, but I realized that when I was 20, the same thing applied. If I didn't conduct myself in a certain manner, if I didn't stay away from certain negative influences and avoid certain trouble, guess what? I was subject to get caught up, too. That didn't change. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why do we throw reality out the window? Just because we're in a different day and time. Everything applied for me applies for my son and everybody else. Question is, what are we going to do about making sure they get it? Now, one of the other things in my platform you'll find if you go to constituentadvocacy.com, look under my platform, is the focus on education. One of those things is parent empowerment. Parent empowerment as partners. Can I tell you something? As a professional educator, I can tell you that the person that understands their child or a child more than anyone else is their parent. Even if you're someone who is afflicted with an addiction of some sort and you've given birth to a child, you understand that child in many ways more than someone who's trained as a professional educator. So there's an opportunity for you to partner with them so that that educator can know how to expand on your knowledge base in the interest of the child. And so parent empowerment and engagement is a major piece, and providing parents the option to make sure that their child gets the best quality education. I'm not saying that we get rid of public schools. I'm not saying that we get rid of charter school options. And now there's conversation about opportunities for children to go to private schools. Put it on the table. Let's look at it, right? I do know, having been a public school teacher myself, that there are a lot of talented public school teachers whose hearts are in what they do, and they do one heck of a job. We definitely don't want to cut them out. We definitely don't want to cut them out. So it's very important that we really look at things before we pull the trigger on things. You understand what I'm saying? How is it that we can cherish these educators, especially those that have been doing it for a while? We don't want to cut them out either. Politics, as Ms. Tony said, though, the politicization of education, of crime, of health care, and things of that nature keeps us at a standstill. Republicans don't like what the Democrats are saying. Democrats don't like what the Republicans are saying. And guess who gets lost in the middle? You and I. Through crying and screaming and kicking and spitting, we still ain't got nothing done. Or somebody gets something and the other ones don't. What about those who lose? They're still constituents. They're still citizens. That's the good thing about this race in November. Whoever wins, the primary is over with. Forget about that right now. Whoever wins is going to represent all of us, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, libertarians, vegetarians, Sagittarians, whatever you are, or call yourself. They are representing your interests, and they must do so firmly, fairly, and persistently. Otherwise, we don't need them. I just said something right there. I hope I'm right about it. But we appreciate that. Look at here, Colin. You get about 10 minutes. Any other questions or comments, Facebook friends? Thank you so much, Brother Richardson, for tuning in with Ms. Tony. I want to thank you for tuning in with us tonight. Brother Allen, thank you so much for tuning in with us. And look at here. We got Harris is on with us here. Thank you for tuning in. Look at Ms. Harrell. Hi, Ms. Harrell. How are you? Thank you guys for tuning in with us. Feel free at any point, even after tonight, to shoot us a comment on Facebook. We'll go back to it and look at it and respond accordingly. My email address is Tony David, Charlie Alpha Charlie. In other words, that's TD19CAC@gmail.com. Shoot me an email. It's on the website as well, constituentadvocacy.com. Call me. Call me any time of the day. Well, the campaign phone is on between 8 and about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, 615-478-4233. The campaign number for the Doctors for Tennessee Senate, again, 615-478-4233. Be happy to entertain your questions or comments. Just kind of let you know what we're providing. And when we come to your area, come see us. You look for that white tent with the big words change. I want to encourage you again to make a contribution to the Doctor for Tennessee Senate campaign, $10, $25, $50, $100. As I said, as a campaign surrogate, your $100 contribution gets you one of these beautiful T-shirts. It gets you a cap, not quite like mine, but very similar to it. That matches the T-shirt, and a yard sign. Oh, I don't live in your district. That's all right. Support us so that we can get the word out to our voters. We will be grateful for support as we come around to your various areas. Again, you'll hear us. Our vehicle is set up to make sure that you can't miss it. So we'll be looking forward to engaging you. Tomorrow. If you live in Council District 1, Council District 2, or Council District 3, and you shop at the Walmart on Dickerson Pike, Doctors for Tennessee Senate campaign will be over there. Come see us. Stop by the tent. You won't miss us. You won't miss us. I'd love to talk with you and show you how you can be a part of what we're doing. We'll be there with the vehicle. And yes, we'll have the megaphone, and we'll be engaging you and talking to you. Come on in the tent and learn what we're doing and how we can make a difference again together. I want to plant something in your head right now. I'm going to plant a date in your head. A day change in the district plan. October 20th, 2018. Keep that date in your mind. I'm going to be talking more about it in the days and weeks to come. October 20th, 2018. What can you do to change things? Now, before I close our show out, let me ask the caller here, anything else you want to share with us, caller, before? Thank you for joining us from the Antioch area. That's in District 28, 29, and 30, parts of 26. Appreciate you calling in and joining us out here. Any final comment before we get ready to cut off here?
No, I'm enjoying myself. Thanks.
All right. We appreciate you calling, and tell your friends and neighbors that we'll be on every Friday night, 7 o'clock p.m., and we look forward to engaging them in substantive conversation and dialogue and answering these questions, as we did tonight about apathy. That's the lack of interest. And we know it don't come out of the sky, but there's a reason for it. And that's why we're here, through our process of educating voters, through a process of organizing voters and encouraging your participation at the ballot box. All right, this is Reuben Dockery, your 2018 candidate. You've been listening to Open Mic, and we're going to close out tonight. And again, I encourage you to go to my website, constituentadvocacy.com, and learn more about what we're doing. Give me a call at 615-478-4233 or email me at cd19charlie@gmail.com. That's cd19cac@gmail.com. Again, thank you very much. And Too Short told us. Blow the whistle, because we got ourselves a problem. We're signing out tonight on another episode of Open Mic with Reuben Dockery. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.